Today on Real Radio.
Listen, when you're in the impossible situation and there seems to be no way out, or there's too much mud, or it's invincible, God shows up. You say, I don't believe it. You don't believe it because you've never experienced it. I say to you this morning, put yourself in the place of being needed.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Until We Cross the Finish Line, continues in the book of Philippians chapter 3 with verses 12 through 14. Chapter 3 is like a virtual roadmap for the Christian life. In verses 1 to 11, Paul describes his past religious achievements. In verses 12 through 16, he reveals his present-day challenges. And in verses 17 to 21, he looks forward to what God has in store for his life. Many challenges came against the Christian believers in Philippi, but in the midst of it all, Paul lays bare the raw and unquenchable passion of every true believer. And that is to become more and more like Jesus Christ every day until we cross that finish line from this world into eternity. We are to surrender ourselves to Him. Today, on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us to put ourselves in a place to be needed, to be willing to let God do what He wants to do with our lives. This creates within us and causes around us a true witness for Jesus Christ in this world. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Verse 12, not that I have already attained. I haven't arrived, Paul is saying. The great, awesome, world-renowned, most famous convert to Christianity ever says, I haven't made it. And I'm already, not that I'm already perfected, but I press on. I'm pressing on that I may lay hold for that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. The first thing we see right here in verse 12 is that it's beyond your comprehension. God has revealed a purpose. You ought to write this down. You make it your own. Write it in the margins or on your notes. God, as a Christian, has given you a purpose. You, as a Christian, you raised your hand a moment ago. If in honesty, you've got to ask yourself this question, what's my purpose? It can only be given by God. It is only for you to know and for all of us to enjoy. The things that come out of your purpose for God bringing you into the family of God should be a blessing to every believer. Listen, are you a Christian? Yes. God has a purpose for your life. And number one, it's going to be beyond your comprehension. It is going to be greater than you. It has to be. For God to be honored, for God to be glorified. Listen, I'm just picking this out of thin air. If you are a great piano player, songwriter, artist, those may be talents, but that's all they may be. You may be super talented. That's fantastic. Those skills may have been honed by you until perfection. You may be the next Monet. I don't know. That has nothing to do with the power of God at work in your life. The power of God at work for the purpose of your life will be beyond comprehension because, number one, you will be overwhelmed with a sense of inadequacy that you're not the one that can do this. Do you ever come up in your Christian experience to a situation, a dynamic, and it is beyond you? There's no way. And you and I will think of excuses where, God, don't you want to use someone else? God, I can think of 1,000 people who ought to be doing this. If you've ever been asked by God in that still small voice, I want you to fill in the blank, your response will be, Lord, I can't, but I will through you. And you get up and aren't you trembling? Aren't you terrified? It's got to be that way. So that, listen, lovingly, you and I are devastated in our Christian life ministry. God is glorified, and we come out of the experience maybe blessing other people. We don't really bless anybody. God uses us to bless other people. But they'll say things like, you were such a blessing. Well, we know it's not true. But we know what you mean. But the answer is, God did it through a buffoon. I just read this week, God spoke through Balaam's donkey. Why? God was speaking to Balaam first. Balaam wasn't listening. So then God spoke through his donkey. Can you imagine your little dog? I have a 4-pound dog. Can you imagine my, because I'm not listening to God, God uses my dog. Hey, Jack. Get yourself out of bed. God wants to talk to you. What's the deal? Come on, he's waiting for you. I can hear him. Can't you hear him? Can you imagine if your poodle said that to you? That's pretty convicting. I would have been convicted thinking, why didn't I hear God? And my Yorkshire Terrier heard God. What is it? He wants to speak. And when he speaks, our answer is to be, yes, Lord. And we tremble when we say it because we don't have the ability. And that's the good news. It's beyond us. God has called you beyond yourself. It's beyond us. What an awesome confession of the apostle when he says, not that I have already attained, the great apostle. He's saying, I've not arrived. Christian, listen, we better read this carefully because you and I cannot admit that we've arrived either. You meet any Christians who have arrived? That's going to be pretty bizarre. You got to get their autograph. But here's an honest report of Paul's own depravity as he sees it, which flies in the face of those legalists that he talked about in verse 2. But we must always, listen, when God's at work, he's always going to point us higher. The call upon the apostle in the book of Acts chapter 9 was amazing. God told Paul, I've saved you and I'm going to call you before kings and the rulers of this world. I'm going to use you as an apostle to the Gentiles of the world. That's impossible. Unless God is in it. Paul was constantly reminded of his inability, and not only to do or to not do things, of just the glory of God himself, the fact that we serve a living, risen Savior, that God is enthroned in heaven. Sweet little reminder, no, maybe no big deal to you this morning, but for me it was like, and I just out loud, I just said, God, thank you for that. I was coming down Eucalyptus Avenue, southbound from Peyton Drive, and there was an opening in the sky, in the clouds, and there were orange beams of light coming through. And that may not be a big deal to anybody. But you know what? I looked at that and I just said, thank you, God, you didn't have to do that. I was talking to our good friend Tony Perkins the other day, and the devastation, as you know, in Louisiana is massive. And Tony, I said, how you doing? He goes, I'm doing great, I guess. I go, what do you mean, you guess? What's the deal? He goes, well, the other day I was just reminded, we're all working, we're clearing stuff out, we're rescuing people, we're just shoveling mud and all this stuff. And somebody came up and said, Tony, I've been watching you while we've been doing all this. You haven't stopped for 14 hours. You need to eat something. And Tony thought for sure he had eaten something. He thought he had drank. The guy said, you haven't drank any water, you haven't eaten any food today. And Tony said, I felt like I was a teenager again. I had vitality and youth and power, and we're helping people. And he said, I cannot admit other than it was just the presence of God. Listen, when you're in the impossible situation and there seems to be no way out, or there's too much mud, or it's invincible, God shows up. You say, I don't believe it. You don't believe it because you've never experienced it. I say to you this morning, put yourself in the place of being needed. Jump into the body of Christ and open up your heart and to be willing, God, the answer is yes, whatever you're going to ask. You know Borden, the dairy Borden people? I read this week in preparation for this message that way back in yesteryear, I think it was in the 1920s, I'm not sure, the year's not important. The heir to the empire, Borden himself, told his parents, listen, I'm going to go serve Christ in China. They said, well, that's fine. But, you know, send somebody else. You're the heir to this empire. And he said, I'm going to go serve Christ. And Borden left America for China. And he's on a ship and he gets sick. He gets to the shores of China to serve Christ, goes straight to a hospital and dies. And the world reported, what a loss, what a tragedy, what a wasted life. And they found a note. And at the end of that note, he said, there's no reservations and no regrets. Now, you stop right there a moment. He was a young man, heir to a mega million empire, had everything in front of him. Had what in front of him? I ask you this morning, had what? in front of him. This is how God works beyond our comprehension. See, you and I do the scorecard with, well, how much are you worth? What are your, collectively, cash on hand, assets, what are you worth? And we write that up in a paper, and we somehow think that that is our value. This is what I'm worth. Think of that for a moment. What was Borden worth? Well, it depends on who you're asking. If you ask God, who can make Jupiter into gold if he wanted to, you think God needs financial support? You think God needs help? Well, you guys had an offering here a moment ago, didn't you? You think God needs our money? God doesn't need our money, and he doesn't need your money. And if you're grumbling about giving God back his money, you keep your money. He doesn't need us. He lets us. Big difference. It's like trying to mow the lawn with your kid. You ever trying to mow your lawn with a three-year-old? They want to mow the lawn. You know this, what normally takes 20 minutes is going to take 2 hours now. But he lets us. And so the world, in their estimation, said Borden lost it all. What a tragedy. What a wasted young life. Did you know that God asked him to go to China? God didn't say, I want you to build a 10-foot-high totem pole or an empire. I'm not asking you to build a church. I'm not asking you to save 10,000 people. He said, go to China. He got to China and he died. Are you willing to receive the fact that God's ways are beyond your ability to comprehend? And so he writes, no regrets. I want you to write at the end of your life, no regrets. You may be very valuable on paper and a complete loser when it comes to eternal things. This world and the kingdoms of this world will come to an end. And only that which has been done for Jesus will matter. And listen, it's not so much that you acquire marks in your belt of things you've done for Jesus. That's never what he asks. He simply asks this, are you willing? It's beyond our comprehension. And Paul says, I have not even come close. A lot of people today, I'm kind of sick of it actually. You look around the web and all the trash that's out there in the internet world. Don't you sometimes wish for a massive EMP bomb to go off? Fry all the electronics of the world. How cool would that be? I think it'd be awesome. But you read stuff online about, in fact, go ahead and Google this. World's most successful pastors, or most successful pastors or preachers in America. Most of those guys that appear on the list, I wouldn't allow them to clean out my garage. Afraid they might steal something. My point is this, who makes up this list? That's like those fact check websites. Fact check says no to that. Who are you guys? Right? Well, you know what Wikipedia says, and then Wikipedia posts up there, we have limited information on the topic we're talking about. If you can add to it, that'd be great. Oh, fantastic. A friend of mine is on Wikipedia, and she said, I never even put that stuff up on Wikipedia. They did it. It's not even true stuff. I'm talking about Brigitte Gabriel. Watch out what you read. Successful pastor, preachers, Christian workers. Well, we better be careful, because if I'm reading the Apostle Paul right, he says, I've not attained. Because if Paul came up here today, if he pulled up in his big black donkey and he got out of it, he wouldn't be driving a big black donkey. He'd pull up in a little, I don't know what. He'd walk in here, you wouldn't even recognize him, except that, who's that guy over there taking out the trash can? Who's that guy over there who's doing the windows? Or who's that guy over there praying with that old lady or that young boy? Who's that guy? He would just be loving on people. And then you would say, well, who is this? That's Paul the Apostle. Paul the Apostle, get a piece of paper. I want him to sign my Bible. Did you know he won't do that? He wouldn't do it. This guy is honestly, truly humble. You say, Jack, how can that be? He achieved so much. He never saw it. He never looked at it that way. It never registered to him. To be like that is to say, check, got that one. What's this one? Do that. Check, mark that box. Next one. Mark that box. There was no real communication flowing out of his life towards other people. Oh, not true about Paul. No, Paul never looked, he never checked the boxes. He just did what Jesus told him to do. He was willing. Imagine getting up every morning and say, Lord, here I am, send me. You may say, well, it's easy for you to say or for that guy to say, but I work at Raytheon. I got to drive to L.A. Hey, until God prevents you from driving to Raytheon in L.A., you ask him, Lord, what do you want me to do today at Raytheon? Are you open? Let God determine our success, not what the internet says. And when somebody's really being used by God, I think they're going to carefully communicate. Carefully communicate. It's really God. There's a guy on TBN said, next week I'm going to be bringing you a message that you've got to hear. I'm quoting now. You can Google this later. I'm going to be bringing you a message next week. It is the greatest message I've ever given. Now, that may be true. It may be the greatest message he's ever given. I don't know. I don't listen to him. You won't believe this. Go look it up. He said, I'm going to be bringing that message to you from the Holy Land, and it is on humility. It's the greatest message I've ever given. Do you hear something there? It's the greatest message I've ever preached. What is it on? Humility. How to be humble and how I attained it. Do you hear that? Paul would have been gagging in the corner. Paul says, I've not attained to that. Just want you to know. I've not attained to that. Quoting Bible verses do not make maturity a reality in our life. It's not preaching sermons or leading people to Christ. Those are things. Have I personally experienced Jesus Christ on the inside? Paul is saying, and allow me to paraphrase it, I want all of you to know that at Philippi, that I have not yet arrived at being at the level of Christian I ought to be like. That's what he's saying. So church, the reason why this message cannot be finished in all these three verses today is this, and I appreciate if you'd write this down. This is sweet business, in my opinion. This introduces us to the doctrine of practical and positional sanctification. Big words that we need to know. There's practical sanctification and there's positional sanctification that's revealed to us in the Bible. To be sanctified simply means this, that God takes us from something and places us to or toward something. If you go to World Market and you buy two salt and pepper shakers, they're sanctified. It's their property. The moment you buy those little salt and pepper shakers and take them home, they are now sanctified to your home. Are you with me? They were taken from one place and placed in another by your will. God does that to us in life. He has a revealed purpose for you. God does this. Look at it this way. There are two windows that we can look at this sanctification through. Number one, it's that we would see a lifelong, listen everybody, does this speak to you? That you and I would see in window number one, a lifelong, day by day, moment by moment, desire in your heart, a nonstop commitment to apply your life to Jesus, to live for Jesus. When you're doing your taxes, when you're eating your food, when you're driving, in leisure, and at work, it's constant. If you can hear my voice right now, and you in your heart go, I know this, he won't let me go. Jesus will not let me go. He's in every moment of my thought. In fact, to prove it, this is an interesting thing. Have you ever been so engrossed in what you're doing? Let's say it's a project at work and it's been hours and you're trying to get that math problem or you're trying to get that thing to work or you're working on that deal and this thing and you're going and you're working and you're working and you're working and everything's above board. You're all good. It's all fine. I'm not talking about you're sinning. I'm talking about you're working. Or it could be a sporting event or whatever. It doesn't matter. You're so focused. And then when the attention breaks for a moment, the thought comes in your mind, oh, I'm a believer in Jesus. The Lord's on his throne. Oh, God, you're awesome. And you just go right back to it. Have you ever had that happen? You know why? Because you're his. You've been brought out of this world and he's placed you into his world. And there's no separation. We may be here with our feet, but our hearts and our minds and our citizenship's in heaven. He may be enthroned in heaven above, but the Holy Spirit is indwelling each of us who are followers of his. And that practical sanctification, that window number one, if we're looking at it, is something that goes on to the day you and I die, and we will never be finished until we die. That's why death for the believer is the great release. To think of the power and the glory that awaits us. But then there's window number two. So through window number two, we see why window number three affects our lives. So window number one is that day-to-day, practical, lifelong living with God, we would say. Walking in the light, the Bible puts it. We would say following Jesus. But window number two is a positional sanctification. So what is that? Positional, listen, is your spreadsheet. Can I use your file, your name, your account? You? In heaven. Positionally, you're in heaven. Practically, we're here right now. Practically. We're living with each other right now. How we talk, how we live, how we serve, what we do, daily basis. Positionally, what makes practical Christianity real? This, window number two. It's that we are positionally secured in heaven. We are living out the reality of God's work here and now, warts and all. This is why, listen, please listen. And again, only the believer can interpret what I'm gonna say here now. Don't let anyone judge you. They're not authorized.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Until We Cross the Finish Line. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that you live in the presence of God daily by surrendering all of your life to Him. And we'll continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Today was day two of this lesson, and don't forget that you can pick up any of these days you might have missed at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Hey, did you know that we post a brand new Real Life TV program every Friday morning? You know, if you like Pastor Jack on the radio, you're going to love him on TV. So go check that out at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Every Friday morning, a brand new Real Life TV program. It's available right there at our website. You could use our app to get there if you'd like, or go to YouTube and subscribe to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel. That's every Friday morning, a brand new Real Life TV program. Go check that out at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Did you know that there are tons of videos and content available via the Real Life app? Just go to your app store and get the Real Life app and check out the TV broadcasts, the Real Radio daily audio broadcasts, the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. It's a place that you'll be encouraged and take advantage of the tools and resources available as you grow in your relationship with God. And also, did you know this ministry is 100% backed by you, the listeners? And now you can donate via the app if you'd like. Check that out as a real easy way to support this ministry. Tons of resources right there at your fingertips. Go to your app store and download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. By the way, did you know that Pastor Jack has over 500 videos on YouTube? Lots of content available for you. Simply go to youtube.com and search Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Maybe you can watch a message or two that you might have missed. Now, there are weekly teachings, real life programs, special messages and events. Really, anything that Pastor Jack wants to share with us is available right there for you on YouTube. Don't forget to set your notifications up so that you can know when Pastor Jack has posted some new videos for you. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio. made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.